What a day we have enjoyed all around us today, throughout Birmingham, around Alabama, across America, and around the world. God's people are worshiping, celebrating the risen Christ, remembering the resurrection, and they are doing so gloriously. But nobody more gloriously than we have worshiped this morning. Thank you so much. Dr. Hopkins, thank you, choir, thank you, orchestra, thank you, everybody. We have been blessed this morning. The life of Jesus ended on the cross of Calvary. There can be no doubt about it. Over these past 6 weeks, we have been looking together at what it means to live in the shadow of the cross. Friends and enemies saw him die. They heard him cry out. They watched his last shuddering breath. To be sure he was dead, a Roman centurion pierced his side. Joseph of Arimathea lay his body in an empty tomb. The women who had been witnesses to the crucifixion watched as a large circular stone rolled down to the front of the tomb and was secured there. They saw the soldiers guarding the grave. They went home and did not return until the beginning of the third day after the Sabbath had passed. They came with everything necessary to give his body a proper burial. But make no mistake, when they came to the tomb, they came to offer Jesus a last act of love and loyalty. There was no anticipation that anything else would happen. Last Sunday, we had an old rugged cross in the front of the church. I reminded you that we saw everything through the sight of the cross. Then they arrived at the tomb. The stone was rolled away. There was an empty grave. There was an angelic messenger. And what a message he brought. We read it together just a few minutes ago. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see for yourself. Everything changed at the empty tomb. Jesus had gone to the cross as the perfect sacrifice. He had died to pay the price for your sins and for mine. When he rose again, he destroyed death. He opened the door to the kingdom of God. This week, that same cross that was an old rugged cross at the front of the church is in the lobby, beautifully decorated to remind us again that we worship a risen Savior. And because of him, everyone who believes has the gift of everlasting life. It's the greatest news the world has ever heard. Here's my question to you this morning. But what if it never happened? What if it was all a lie? What if his body had only been moved? What if those early Christians got together with the disciples and just made up a story to tell? What if the cross was really the end of Jesus? You see, there are a lot of people in the world today, a lot of people who find themselves in church pews this morning, who really want to deal with Jesus apart from the empty tomb. They just can't believe he rose from the dead. Some years ago, when I was a college student, I was interviewing with a church that was talking to me about maybe coming to work with their young people. And as I sat with a pastor, he said to me, "You know, I've just been away on a retreat with our young people, and I've had to explain to them what that concept of eternal life is all about, that it's about the richness of life, because everybody knows that dead people don't come to life again." And I left that church that day, by the way, and never went back again. But a lot of people feel that way. They say it's enough to respect what he stood for. They'll call him the greatest man who ever lived. They will believe that his teachings show us the ways of God. They will even believe Jesus was the greatest expression of the love of God the world has ever seen. Some people might even be willing to worship the Christ who died on a cross. But they stop short at the resurrection. They will say, everybody knows that when you die, you die. Nobody has ever come back from the grave. They'll argue that the best thing any of us can do is to try to live the way Jesus lived, because that will make your life richer along the way. What if it never happened? You know, I'm not the first person to ask that question. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul took time to write to the Corinthian church about. He began to talk about, what is it like if Christ is not risen? Let me share with you what Paul concluded. The first thing he said is this. He said, if Christ is not risen, then we have nothing to say. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. In other words, if the tomb is empty, we don't have a message worth hearing. It is all empty words and religious babble. Anyone who stands before any crowd of people, any group of folks, whether it's called a church or a sanctuary or a gathering, and says, now we worship Jesus, but we don't worship the risen Jesus, they really don't have anything to say. Now, they may have beautiful words that they can share. They may be able to express it eloquently, but the truth is, if Christ is not risen, then it's all empty talk. Without the resurrection, this is all you could expect to hear from me today. I would say to you, believe in something. Try harder. Do your best. But in the end, it's all up to you. In other words, without a risen Savior, I have nothing meaningful to say, and you don't have anything to believe. Never listen to anybody who tries to tell you that the teachings of Jesus are enough to make you godly. It's no good to remember the golden rule without the empty tomb. There's no reason to believe you can do all things through Christ without the empty tomb. There's no reason to think that you can go into all the world and preach anything without the empty tomb. Without a resurrection, I can't call you to be saved, because there's nothing to be saved from. There's nothing to be saved for. There's no reason to be saved. Without a risen Christ, all the words in the Bible are just platitudes to keep you from believing that someday you're going to die, and when you die, everything will be over. In fact, Paul says, if Christ is not risen, then everything is a lie. Verse 15, he says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. What is he saying? He's saying if Jesus remained in the tomb, then Christianity is a sham from beginning to end. It's all a fiction. It's all a lie. It's all a fairy tale. There's nothing there. If the resurrection never happened. You see, if there's no empty tomb, that doesn't mean that one part of the Gospels is untrue. It means everything. Everything is a lie. It means that whatever Jesus claimed about himself was all made up. Remember, Jesus never one time claimed that he came to be a great teacher and a great healer. Jesus made incredible claims about himself. Jesus said about himself, he was the Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. Jesus said about himself that he came to give up his life, a ransom for many. Jesus said about himself that he would lay his life aside and take it up again. If there is no empty tomb, those are the ravings of a madman, of a megalomaniac who believed he was so much more than a man, unless he was so much more than a man. There's not one thing in the Bible that can stand the test of time and truth if Jesus is not risen. Paul went on, and this is what he said. He said, if Christ is not risen, then death has won the battle. Verse 18, he declared, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Without the empty tomb, death is the great equalizer. If you believe in him, you die. If you don't believe in him, you die. No matter what you believe, you die. That's all we can hang on to without the empty tomb. It doesn't really matter apart from a risen Christ. No matter what you do, you die once and for all if Christ never rose again. And because of that, Paul carried on and he said this, in fact, if Christ is not risen, you are pitiful. You have wasted your life believing in a fantasy. You should be like the man in the parable who said, eat, drink, and be merry. No wonder Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. What he was saying was this, without the resurrection, you can't make a decision that makes any sense. Not about being a Christian. If you're willing to embrace Christianity just for this world alone, you are pitiful. If you're willing to live a Christian life thinking that that will make this life a little bit more rich, you are pitiful. If you are willing to trust God just for this year and next year and maybe the year after that, you are pitiful. Why not just throw it all away? Why in the world are you spending a beautiful Sunday inside a sanctuary if Christ is not risen? If he's not risen, nothing makes sense. Everything is a lie. Faith is futile. If. But I am here to tell you this morning that none of those things are true. Let me share the truth this morning. Paul roars it out in triumph in verse 20 when he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here is the glory of Resurrection Sunday. The tomb was empty. The angel did share the good news. He absolutely revealed himself to Peter, the 11, and many other disciples. The power of the risen Savior has transformed the lives of millions who have believed in him from the day that stone was rolled away until this very day. And there are many, many in this room who very much today would say, let me tell you something, my life has been changed. I am not the person I used to be. I have been transformed by the power of a risen Savior. He is alive. It's my great privilege this morning to announce Christ the Lord is risen today, and all who trust the crucified and risen Savior will live with him forever in his Father's kingdom. Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, you will live eternally. That's not what I think. That's what God says. And we trust him that the risen Savior lives within us today and gives us the promise of eternal life. I have a message for you this Easter morning. Not I, but the Word of God. This is how Paul concludes the chapter. He says, the one who died and the one who rose is the one who will come again to claim his own. Paul spent all this time in 1 Corinthians 15 talking about, well, if this were true, if this were true, if this were true. But this is how he concludes the chapter. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate. God gives us the victory through a risen Savior. Christ is risen today. Amen and amen. The risen Savior reigns in heaven. Amen and amen. And the day is coming when he's going to claim his own. And when he claims us, everything corruptible, everything broken, everything twisted, everything wicked will be done away with. And the power of hell will be broken forever. And we will ever be with the Lord. And that's what we celebrate when we talk about an empty tomb. This morning, you may be here, and everything I've talked about is your personal experience. You can say, I know exactly what it was like. I know what it was like when I didn't believe. I know what it was like when I heard the truth. I know what it was like when the Holy Spirit spoke within my heart. I know what it's like to trust Him and to have eternal life because I have given myself to Jesus. And today you have come to celebrate the risen Lord. But you may also be here this morning, and all of this is just a story to you. Maybe a story you've heard for the first time, and it may be the story you've heard for the 10th time, or the 100th time, or the 500th time, but it's never become real in your life. For you, it's a story about something that happened a long time ago to people that lived a long way from here. Let me tell you something. When Jesus died, and when he rose again, he rose so that you could have salvation. He rose so that you could have eternal life. He died and he rose for those who were alive in the time when it all happened, but so much for those who live today and those who are going to live until he comes again to claim his own. And there's nothing more important you could do than give your life to Jesus Christ, to trust him as Savior, to follow him as Lord. And maybe today, that's exactly what you need to do on this Easter Sunday as we celebrate the risen Christ. Maybe it's time to let Christ come and dwell in your heart. Maybe it's time to surrender yourself to him. Maybe it's time for you to give up trying to do it by yourself and trust the one who's done it for you. Through a cross and an empty tomb, through an ascension and a return. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. In a minute, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. Your opportunity to come to know Jesus. I'll be here at the front. Rich will be here at the front. Either one of us would love to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you need to be part of a church where you can grow in your Christian faith. And God is calling you to be part of First Baptist Church. You can feel him moving in your heart. Or maybe there's another decision you need to make today. We're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to stand. We're going to sing as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You come. Let's stand. Let's sing our invitation hymn.